Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
That's all you get.
Is that it? Yeah?
All right. Yeah, no, sorry. I don't know what happened. It kind of gave out there.
All right. Well, I guess that'll get us started here. We're here for another episode of Hot Takes. Tonight we're going to be doing a special edition of NBA preview show. And I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And joined by Nolan Haig at NJH09. So we had a pretty good weekend in sports here, but this weekend. But we're getting ready to dive deep into the NBA season. It's a long season ahead, and it's kind of weird that it's already back here. Seems like we just got done finishing up the finals, and I guess it was kind of made it harder because we had USA basketball this summer too, so didn't feel like it was completely gone. But tomorrow's the night.
No, yeah, definitely kind of a big week or two coming up here. I mean, you've obviously got the World Series starting tomorrow. You've got Cleveland Cavaliers hanging a banner and have game one of the World Series. That's going to be crazy. And you've also got, you know, football in full swing. So kind of a crazy sports time at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And also, we don't watch it, but hockey's going on too. So definitely, if you're a fan of sports right now, it's a good time to be a fan right now. But yeah, so I guess we should kind of get started here. We can go over our picks from last week a little bit and get into our NBA season preview here. So let's kick it off with a game that we probably neither one of us watched. That was Avalanche and Lightning. We both picked the Lightning, but the Avalanche ended up winning that one 4-0.
Yeah. A guy had two goals for the Avalanche.
Do we know his name?
Matt. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Matt Duchene? Duchene? I don't know what it is.
Matt.
But he had two goals. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that's more info
Go
than
hockey.
I could give. I know we picked that match I picked that match based on them both being undefeated. But the night we picked it, the Avalanche actually lost to the Blackhawks, I believe. So, yeah, they weren't undefeated when we came into that. But, hey, they won. So, yeah, that's all I got on that. Anyway, let's move on here.
Right.
Texas A&M and Alabama, kind of like we predicted the week before, with Alabama and Tennessee, and Alabama pretty much controlled it all the way. Texas A&M actually led 14-13 at one point. But once they got that lead, Alabama came right back down the field, drove, got a touchdown, got a defensive touchdown, and it was over from there. Trevor Knight didn't really have a great day. He had some good running plays, but really was missing some guys deep. And, yeah, Alabama's defense was all over him, kind of like we thought. So Alabama looks for real, and I think we knew that coming in. But I think they're beatable. I know there was a 6 next to Texas A&M's name, but I'm not as sold on the SEC this year. However, Auburn and LSU have been playing really well this season, and those are always tough matchups for Alabama. So I think that they're going to have to be on their A game if they want to win those games as well, coming down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely beatable. I mean, as close, but they're probably the closest thing to unbeatable as you can get, I guess, in today's college football. They're just amazing on defense. Their offense, I mean, it seems like if you were able to force them to pass, that you might be able to force them into, you know, some mistakes. I mean, yeah, Jalen Hurts has thrown some picks, threw a couple picks in this game, but I mean, their running game is too good right now to really allow that. They can, and like I said, with the defense scoring touchdowns, I mean, you can't defend that. they definitely look like the best team in the SEC. I wouldn't say that they're having a down year just because the SEC is. But yeah, as for A&M, they just looked like an okay team, not a great team. Like you said, Trevor Knight couldn't really get anything going throwing. He could really only find Christian Kirk throwing the ball. Don't really have much else to say about that. Jonathan Allen's ridiculous. I don't know if you saw that that kind of Superman-looking play, sack-looking crazy deal, but that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, as far as their offense goes, I think that you could shut them down if you shut down that running game, because Jalen Hurts, as impressive as he is on the ground, still got some work to do in his passing game. Missed a lot of wide open guys. Score could have probably been worse than what it was, but he missed a lot of guys. Still a true freshman, and when he's running the ball, he's almost unstoppable. He's huge for a quarterback, and he's fast, and kind of looks like Cam Newton running down the field, that number two jersey, and his size, but yeah, he's got a little work to do on his passing, but Alabama definitely looks as scary as ever. You know, it'd be really fun is seeing Lamar Jackson face them. So.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be quite a show, but or actually just Lamar Jackson in that offense.
Yeah, I mean Alabama has that's who they've struggled with the most. In Nick Saban's era, is guys that can really threaten you on the ground and in the air, and Lamar can definitely do that in that Louisville offense. So I definitely think that would be a fun game, but we'll have to see if that's even possible. Louisville's not really going to be helped out here coming down the stretch with their schedule, and if everyone else wins out, they're gonna miss out on this playoff here.
Yeah, that definitely would not be good. But,
yeah.
All right. I guess, you got anything else?
Oh, no. Just going to move on here to TCU, West Virginia.
All right, sounds good. Another not-so-close game.
We actually both went TCU here, and big mistake on our part. West Virginia definitely looks far and away the best team in the Big 12 so far. Their end of their schedule is really going to determine that when they have to face Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor coming down the stretch here. But their defense looks like the best defense in the Big 12, and they look quick and they look ferocious. I mean, hey, if they're stopping Big 12 offenses, that's saying something.
TCU and Texas Tech holding them to their lowest point totals of the year, that's saying something. But I don't know. It is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, Texas
just
Tech.
Like, they
kind of
came out of nowhere with this defense, especially after losing so many starters.
Yeah, so, definitely a surprise. I don't think that they'll finish undefeated, but definitely looking really well right now, and Dana Holgorsen might have them playing on New Year's at least, so New Year's Eve. So definitely a surprise from this team.
Yeah. When did Baylor and West Virginia play each other? Why? How did they end up being the last two teams undefeated
in that
conference?
Baylor has a cupcake schedule. Baylor has a cupcake schedule.
That's fair.
Until conference play. And I'm not sure about West Virginia, but I would imagine that they didn't exactly have tough matchups in their non-conference. So
you're right. They played
definitely
going to
determine a lot. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That's another story. I guess our last college football game here we had was your upset pick, which was actually Texas Tech over Oklahoma. You were close. I think anyone could have won that game. I actually caught the fourth quarter, and I think I saw more touchdowns in that one quarter than I saw all day watching college football. Final score ended up being 66-59. Both teams ended up with exactly 854 total yards, which combined is an NCAA record. Patrick Mahomes was 53 of 88 for 712 yards. Baker Mayfield had 500 yards passing, 7 TDs. Shouldn't both defensive coordinators be looking for a job right now?
Well, I'm pretty sure one of them is related to the head coach, so that's probably not going to happen, especially if it already hasn't happened. And I'm pretty sure Texas Tech just doesn't employ a defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
but,
you might be right.
But no, I mean, like you said, just a ridiculous amounts of offense. Baker Mayfield, 7 touchdowns. The yardage on those were 56, 49, 23, 23, 43, 34, and 15. So he was airing it out pretty much all day, obviously. Joe Mixon had 5 total touchdowns, 260 yards rushing and 114 yards receiving. So he had himself a day. D.D. Westbrook even had 200 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving. So just anybody who wanted to score definitely got theirs.
Yeah, we'll move on here. Let's go to the NFL game that is over, and that was my upset pick. I actually picked the Eagles over the Vikings, and I nailed it. Sam Bradford looked awful. Carson Wentz didn't look great, but I love Doug Peterson. He really, second half, took the ball out of Wentz's hands, and the Eagles' special teams and defense win them another game. They probably had the best special teams in the league. Josh Huff had a huge kick return. They had a block, a field goal, a huge goal line. Or it wasn't a goal line stand. It was 4th-and-1 from about the 7. Stopped them there. Just a huge performance from the Eagles to get back on it after losing 2 straight after being 3-0. They get back on the winning track here and get set up for a huge Sunday night showdown with the Cowboys.
They definitely bounced back after losing 2 in a row.
The Lions and the Redskins. Yeah.
Right, nice of the defense to come back and step up right after I decided to drop them in fantasy. and just harass Sam Bradford. Also the same week that I decided to start Sam Bradford. So that game kind of upset me a little bit. The Eagles are definitely looking good. It's definitely going to be an exciting game, a classic NFC East showdown, especially with the NFC East being as competitive as it tends to often be.
Yeah, the conference is looking really, really well so far, or really good so far. They all 4 teams playing pretty well. The Giants kind of iffy about, but definitely the the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins have been playing pretty well this season. I think above expectations for all three of them. They've surprised me. I know I was expecting 4 wins total this season. They've matched that already, and it's pretty exciting. I'm still not getting my hopes too high because they still do have a rookie quarterback. He's kind of hitting the wall right now. He had the 2 picks. Weren't really good throws. They were good throws. They just weren't good decisions. But he definitely has the poise to lead the team. So definitely encouraging there. And I don't know what I was gonna say. Oh, Doyle Green Beckham finally made an appearance on Sunday, catching his first touchdown with the Eagles. He's been playing more and more as the weeks are kind of leading up here, so that's encouraging. Probably took him some time to learn the playbook here a little bit. I know that was kind of his problem in Tennessee, but it'd definitely be great if he could come in and make a difference because the Eagles have trouble with kind of catching the ball at times and getting separation, and he's the kind of playmaker, difference maker that they could use. There are also talks that they've been talking to the 49ers about a possible trade with Torrey Smith. If they could get some help at receiver, they'd be perfect, but might have to look at running back too. Second straight week, or I guess 2 out of 3 weeks that Ryan Matthews now has a fumble in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter on Sunday, so he should stop that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of always been a thing about Ryan Matthews' health and fumbles, but I don't know if I'd bring in Torrey Smith, especially if you're finally starting to get production out of GGB. You can't trust that he's just going to, you know, take off and become that guy, but he definitely has the ceiling to be, you know, that deep threat, that guy that you can just throw it up to. Minnesota did seem to get awful physical with him too. I mean, it was good to see him get through and be able to get that touchdown. So hopefully he's still working on getting that separation and getting off the line. But I don't know. How would you feel about Torrey Smith?
He'd come in and definitely be that guy that could take the top off the defense. Carson Wentz definitely has the arm to be able to throw downfield. He kind of seems like he's not the same player, but kind of give him some slack because he does play with San Francisco. He hasn't been playing with the best quarterbacks. And, of course, we both know, watching receivers over the years, those guys, if they don't like who's throwing them the ball, they can kind of just, take themselves out of the game mentally. And so maybe a new team would be a fresh start for him, and it would also be interesting to see Chip Kelly trading him a weapon back.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. You would kind of expect him to want something in return. It's totally possible. If you can bring in Torrey Smith and then you can kind of, you know, I guess maybe not exactly, but it'd be kind of like that. It's how we've kind of seen a little bit of a revival of Mike Wallace this year. You get him back to doing that one thing that he does better than most people, even in the NFL, and then you can start to see success. And when you get a receiver that starts to see success, the head's gonna get into the game more. They're gonna, you know, you're not going to check out or, like you were kind of hitting on, you know, quitting on a QB. But hopefully, I mean, if they decide to go that way, that he can kind of get back to that just deep threat Baltimore days.
Yeah, it would definitely be refreshing to see. I think that if that was to happen, I think we'd see Nelson Aguilar move to the slot where he's more comfortable, I would think. And, it'd be interesting to see where they go with DGB at that point. Would he just kind of be a goal line type receiver for you? Anything could help right now. The receivers kind of have a problem with drops at times too, so that's never fun.
I guess one more thing. Would you take a move like that, being like they're serious about making a run, like they really think this year could be something big? Or is Torrey Smith not quite that guy?
It's probably
going to take a fourth or fifth rounder, maybe third rounder. Chip Kelly wants to be vindictive.
Yeah, the Eagles don't have many picks this year. I don't think they have a second rounder. They just got a first rounder, of course, from the Vikings. So, and I think they're missing a fourth rounder or something like that. So, I don't know what they could exactly do. Maybe Vinny Curry, who's not getting exactly a lot of minutes, but when he does play, he's pretty good. And the Niners, of course, I think had the worst run defense in the league. So maybe, but it's very rare that you see player for player trades like that in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just kind of have to see. I think that they had the pieces right now, as long as the receivers can kind of step up a little bit and they're not fumbling the ball and go back to limited turnovers. I think they had the team that could kind of make some noise in the NFC. And I think Sunday night will be really telling of that. They're going to be facing a strong offensive line, so we'll see how good that pass rush really is. And also just the run defense in general, trying to stop Ezekiel Elliott. I know we'll talk about that game a little bit here at the end of the show. So,
well, all right. I guess we can probably move on from the football talk now.
We also picked Broncos Texans. Broncos look like they're going to win that. I think they just got the ball back. It's 24-9.
It's funny, earlier I said that I thought to myself final score is probably going to be 27-9, so expect that.
Yeah, the Broncos are in field goal range already, so Brock Osweiler finally got over 100-yard passing, so that's good.
Oh, wow, it only took him, what, 3.5 quarters?
More than that, yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, so... Yeah, it looks like we're going to hit that one. So this week, I think I went 3-2, got my upset. I believe you went 2-3. So, I'm only one game back of you here early in our picks. So I guess time to start our NBA season preview here.
Yeah, let's talk about all the NBA.
Let's do it.
Sixers, let's go.
All right. Joel Embiid, over under, 35 games played this year.
I'm going to hit that under. My question was going to be, are they going to trade Nerlens Noel?
Probably. They have to trade one of them.
To who then?
I saw an interesting, to the Knicks. But Joakim Noah, I don't know if that would work.
But then again, that's the thing. You don't know how healthy Joakim Noah is going to be.
Yeah, but his contract, I don't know how exactly that would work and what the Knicks could trade them in return.
Interesting thing I saw would be the Pelicans. I thought it was kind of funny since they were the team that originally picked him and then traded him to the Sixers in the first place. But Nerlens Noel playing center, so Anthony Davis can stay in that four.
Yeah, they'd have some a skinny front line there, a little bit slender. But,
they'd be pretty athletic, though.
Yeah, they would. That'd be interesting. Yeah, I just thought the Knicks, because I thought it'd be a good fit with Porzingis down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that there's a couple spots that he could wind up. It'd be pretty good. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I do think that one of them goes, and I would have to guess it'd be Noel. He doesn't really exactly seem like he's happy in Philly, which can't really blame him. But yeah, him or Jaleel, and because I don't think anyone's going to trade for Embiid right now, and I think they have too much confidence in him becoming what they thought he'd become when they drafted him. So, what the scene?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We don't have to keep talking about the Sixers if you don't want to. The only other, when are we going to see Ben Simmons?
I don't think we see him at all this year.
That's just awful.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Typical Sixers right there. It sucks for him. I believe that is a guy that can change their franchise around a little bit here. And it's going to suck if they have to go a whole year without him. But if he's missing till like February, I know that's still 2.5 months or so that he could play, but I just want to risk it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating thing is that it's obviously a tough injury to deal with, and yeah, you obviously don't want to mess anything up. So definitely, take every precaution. It's terrible that they just keep having to go through this process, but I mean. That's what you get for tanking, maybe?
Trust the process. It's actually going to be his nickname is the process. If he earns a nickname here. Joel Embiid is going to be the process. Sorry, not Ben Simmons.
It should be the big process and the little process.
And the little process, yeah. Hey, if they can stay healthy, that'd be quite the duo. But
yeah,
not good so far. That's something I'll turn around for him here. I guess we can kind of talk a little bit here about Derrick Rose too. Going to the Knicks, he had this huge case that's kind of hung over his head all preseason. It got dropped recently. What do you think do you think that could have an impact on him? And do you think that he's going to play well with the Knicks this year?
I don't know. Obviously, something this serious should probably have an effect. I mean, it's totally understandable that it would. Obviously, there's a lot of crazy circumstances surrounding the entire thing, just uncertainties of what happened, conflicting accounts of things, and you've even got, the lead detective in the case getting murdered. I can't imagine that whole ordeal not being stressful if you're involved in it, nay, at the center of it and being the most famous person involved. I would think it'd have to at least affect things initially. The Knicks are kind of a long shot to, I would say, actually do anything in the East anyway. Like we were talking about, you don't know what you're going to get from Joakim Noah. You're hoping Kristaps going to get better, but, you have no idea what's going on with Melo either, how this is all going to work out. So, I wouldn't bet, or I wouldn't expect the Knicks to a playoff team would be a start.
Definitely, I don't know if you did, but I actually did my top eight for each conference this year, and yeah, we'll have to see if the Knicks made my final cut here, because I think that there are going to be some problems with some off the court stuff, and I have some issues. I don't think that their chemistry is really going to go good together here in New York this season. I think that it could blow up. So we'll have to see. But another team that someone, I can't remember who it was, but was talking about the Warriors this season coming in and said that they had the potential to blowing up because of Draymond Green. I don't know if you saw it in their last preseason game. Of course, kicked at Allen Crabbe. It looked like if Allen Crabbe was just a couple inches to the left, he would have kicked him where Draymond Green has been kicking players lately. And would not have been a good look, especially in preseason coming in. I think that it's going to be something hanging over their head, and they're going to have all this talk. I don't really see potential of them blowing up. I think that Durant and all them are close enough, but if Draymond doesn't stop, one of them guys is going to have to go after the season, and could be Draymond, and keeping Clay and Durant and Steph, of course. So we'll have to see if that continues, but yeah, he needs to stop kicking people, because he's got to control that. That there's just not an excuse for it anymore. He knows that people are watching for it, and people are, and refs are looking for it. So he really needs to stop, and because that's not going to help his team at all. They need him on the court.
Yeah, yeah, no, that right. Obviously, he's probably, I mean, you can't, he's probably not their best player, of course. I mean, you got Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and even on some nights, Klay Thompson, but he's probably their most important player just in what he brings to his position and how he can play so many different positions and defend so many positions. But, yeah, if it doesn't work nearly as good without him. Obviously, you know, without him, they're still a really good team, a really talented team. But he's definitely, I'd say, probably one of the two guys that you don't want to lose. The question I was really going to ask about the Warriors is what happens if one of them goes down? And I guess depending on who it is, which would be the most detrimental? Because I would obviously think Draymond would have to be one. They seem to be a different team when he missed the game in the finals, and then it kind of changed the whole landscape of the finals and how it ended up going. I guess. Could they not afford to lose?
Yeah, they didn't have Kevin Durant in the finals, though.
Right. I understand. Yeah, Kevin Durant does make up for things. But, I mean,
I think the guy that they couldn't afford to lose.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the guy I think that they can't afford to lose is it's actually the new guy. It's Kevin Durant. We know what the three can do by themselves, and that's be a really good team, a great team. And but I think that no matter what, I think Kevin Durant's going to end up taking control of this team. He's basically can do all the things that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green can do combined. I think he's not going to have to put as much effort on the offensive end, so I think we're going to see a huge increase in his defensive play. He can really become an enforcer down low. I mean, he's 7 foot. He's athletic. He's got the wingspan to block shots. No, he's not going to battle with you down low, but one of his big goals this season is to average 10 rebounds a game. That's definitely capable for him. I think that he could be the biggest piece. He can do, I mentioned he can do all the things that these other guys can do. He can take you off the dribble. He can shoot. He has a low post game. The only thing about it is he's 6'10", 6'11", whatever height you want to list him as. That makes a special player. I think he'd be huge to lose if they lost him.
No, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, they went out and got him for a reason. He definitely changes the equation. But I would think that, yeah, if there's a number two guy, that's definitely Draymond, going back to what we were originally talking about. But but I guess as far as the Warriors go, is there anybody going to compete with them?
Yeah, I definitely think that there'll be teams that can compete with them. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. They might struggle a little bit at the beginning, getting used to kind of playing with each other. Their fast break game was pretty sloppy in the preseason, but that just comes with getting to know what each other likes to do. But we also saw highlight plays that you can just imagine what it's going to be like this season when they're all full force here and going. And, it could be a scary and beautiful thing at the same time. So I know a lot of people aren't happy about it, but I'm excited to just kind of see it here. It should be fun as far as just watching them. But I definitely don't think that it's theirs to lose. I know making this move for Durant kind of makes it that way, but I definitely don't think it's a given that they're going to win at all. So, let's see.
All right. Okay, well, let's get into these awards then. Do you want to go MVP first or last?
Let's do that last. Let's start here, sixth man of the year.
Okay. I guess I'll go first. I'm just going to go Eric Gordon. I don't know. He went to Houston. James Harden's probably going to have an insane year. Hopefully he can benefit off of that. So there you go.
All right. It's a good pick. I actually took Brandon Jennings with the Knicks. I think that he fits in really well with what they want to do, and he's going to see a lot of minutes at the point guard position. And he definitely can put the ball in the basket. So I think that Brandon Jennings will end up with that award.
All right, awesome. I have most improved. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I guess I'm going to go with D'Angelo Russell. I think that Byron Scott really kind of screwed him early on. I think Luke Walton's going to completely change the Lakers. I think there's a real shot of him being able to turn them around, especially with all the young talent they're able to kind of bring in, and will finally be well-coached. So, look for D'Angelo Russell to finally start to blossom.
I like that pick. He actually finished second for me here. The guy I'm going with is last year's Rookie of the Year. That's Karl Anthony Towns. Kind of seems like a weird pick for most improved, but he averaged 18-10 last year, and I think that's going to jump up to about 24-12 this year, and I think the Timberwolves are going to be the most improved team in the league. So, I have Karl Anthony Towns taking that award.
All right, awesome. I guess let's go Rookie of the Year now. Who you got for that?
All right, my Rookie of the Year here is going to be actually Dragan Bender for the Phoenix Suns. I think he could shoot well. It was going to be Ben Simmons. He got hurt. I thought about Joel Embiid. I think the minute restriction on him is going to kind of hurt him in that call. I don't think Brandon Ingram is going to get enough minutes. And so, yeah, I went with the guy on a team that's rebuilding and should see a lot of minutes here. So I have Dragan Bender coming here. But I'm kind of worried about his own teammate, Marquese Chris, possibly taking some votes from him. So, and also was concerned with kind of how Chris Dunn was going to fit into the Timberwolves. So I didn't go there either.
Yeah, like you said, Ingram, Dunn, I kind of considered them, but I just wasn't completely sold. I'm, again, not a believer in Embiid. But I think Buddy Hield's in a pretty good position to succeed.
Yeah.
Obviously, that offense isn't going to run through him. Hopefully, they can get him a lot of open shots because he's a pretty accurate shooter. So I'm gonna bet on Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy finished in my top three, so definitely good pick. Let's roll here, Defensive Player of the Year. Who you got?
To kind of throw things off a little bit, obviously Kawhi's won it 2 years running now. But I'm going to kind of go with your most improved player, Karl-Anthony Towns. I think he's going to take a huge step forward defensively this year and just, yeah, take that award. I mean, offensive numbers, maybe not quite there yet, but yeah, they've got other offensive weapons to score points.
Oh, that guy is going to be fine scoring the basketball. But I'm actually going with the guy I picked last year. Didn't really stay healthy all the last season, but I'm going Rudy Gobert, the Australian skyscraper here. So, yeah, still Gobert.
All right. Who's your MVP then?
All right. Might be a shocker here, but I am rolling with Paul George from the Pacers.
Okay.
He's got a good point guard now, one that's going to find him the ball, Jeff Teague. He's got a pretty good team around him. I think that the Pacers are going to be right in the thick of things this year, and I think Paul George is just going to explode this season and finally become that superstar that we thought he was going to become a few years ago before his nasty leg break for Team USA. So, yeah, going Paul George.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. I mean, obviously, you've got KD and Curry are probably going to be split votes between them. LeBron's probably going to have votes, but I think that LeBron's probably going to defer to Kyrie for most of the regular season, try and get his numbers up. But I don't think it'll ultimately be enough. But you guys I really want to watch this year are going to be James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Obviously, Russell Westbrook by himself, James Harden back by himself again, pretty much, as the main scorers. So I just think Harden's just going to have a little bit better a year. Mike D'Antoni is going to give him a lot of opportunities to score and as well as assists. Just another crazy offensive year from James Harden.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. He's going to be in a good position. So, well, running out of time here, quickly, what's your finals prediction?
I mean, until proven otherwise, it's going to be Warriors-Cavs. So, what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I have. I have the same thing. Golden State in five.
Six, just to be different.
All right, quickly, hot picks. Knicks-Cavs tomorrow night, opening game.
Cavs.
Yeah, Cavs hanging the banner. They're not going to lose. Jazz and Blazers.
Give me the Blazers.
Yep, I got Blazers too. And Spurs-Warriors.
Warriors, of course.
Yeah, I'm taking the Warriors. And our one NFL game, Eagles-Cowboys Sunday night.
I'm going to take the Cowboys.
I hate you. I'm going the Eagles. what's your upset pick?